Well, let's begin this morning. Father, we bow before you this morning and thank you for an opportunity to gather once again. And Lord, as we look at an unusual prayer in the Bible, in a sense, help us to glean from it. And Lord, teach us by your word. And we thank you for this exciting season with celebrating your first coming and looking forward to your soon second coming. And thank you for what you're doing in this country, and may we respond. May there be those standing in the gap, Lord, and may those be willing to pray, Lord, and with many or few, Lord, you hear every prayer, Lord. So bless and guide us this morning as we spend these moments together in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is Christmas Eve, and so we will sing Joy to the World, and the words are on the top of the front page there. Joy to the World. Praise the Lord. Well, if you turn in your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 22, we continue on. Last week we were in this same chapter, and Paul has come back to Jerusalem bringing an offering for the Jewish church from the Gentile churches in an attempt, I think, to try to bridge the difference a little bit between the Jews and the Gentiles. And I believe that he has been contemplating during these missionary journeys in these years since his conversion of dreaming to see the Sanhedrin brothers, buddies of his, coming to the Lord. He has seen so many Gentiles coming to the Lord, and the Lord has been telling him, they won't listen to you, Paul, but he's determined. So a couple questions for you. How much love do you have for the lost? And if the Lord tells you don't witness, are you going to witness anyway? That's a big question, isn't it? Well, we see here, in a sense, that that's what happens here with Paul. And so he now is before the mob in Jerusalem. They drug him out of the temple, thinking that he had Trophimus with him, who was a Gentile. They had seen Trophimus in Jerusalem with him when he came back. And these are Jews from Asia. And so they drag him out of the temple, and they're going to kill him. And the Roman soldiers come to the rescue, and they rescue him, and they start to take him into the barracks. And he says, may I speak to this mob? And so they said, yeah, okay. So he starts to speak to them. He speaks to them in Hebrew. Amazingly, they quieted down. And then he, I believe, is recounting this trance that he had, which I'm calling it a prayer because it is communication with the Lord, in order to establish to them that his calling to the Gentiles has been from God, and that this trance that he received, he actually received while he was praying there in the temple in Jerusalem. So this is a very divine thing. And since it's a divine thing, you'll understand better why I'm doing what I'm doing, and you will accept it, and you will accept the Messiah as salvation in full without keeping the law and all these other things. So he recounts this trance to them. Now, the trance is interesting word. It's ecstasia, which we get our word ecstasy from, and it's generally thought to be a condition where your emotions are kind of overtaking your consciousness, at least partially, and you're just in an extraordinary state of ecstasy. Now, this word trance is used in three occasions in the Bible, twice with Balaam. Now, with Balaam, it's actually translated vision from God, not a trance, but a vision from God. And so it's that's another translation of this same word in the Hebrew, vision from God. So you can say ecstasy, or you can say a partial occlusion of the consciousness. But he wants to repeat this to the Jewish people there, who, of course, want to kill him, but they're quiet now because he's giving them this testimony. And the reason I'm saying that the Lord wanted to stop him on his way now, when he got to Tyre, he was with them several days, and it says in verse 4 of chapter 21, they told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. And then when he went on to Caesarea right after that, Agabus, the prophet, came down, took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet. Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now when he heard these things, both we and those that from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem, then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. How is your temperature for the lost? Is it to that level? I don't think mine is. But at any rate, we see he's going to do it no matter what. Now, he gets to Jerusalem. And they said, Paul, show the Jews here that you're a good little Jewish boy and sponsor these guys that want to go through this purification rite and go into the temple for a number of days here and through this purification process. So he did. And then he's in this purification process somewhere in here, because it says he was in the temple, verse 17 of today's study, Acts 22. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple. This is what he's telling the mob now of what happened to him, that I was in this trance, this ecstasia, and I saw him, meaning Jesus, saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem. Now, if you're contemplating doing something, the Lord speaks to you and says, make haste and get out of there. Are you going to stay or are you going to leave? Okay, well, Paul didn't do that, as you see. Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, now he's going to try to justify why they are going to listen to him, because what he's been one of them. And here's what I've done, Lord. They know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. I was even worse than they are. So they know that's where I've come from. So they'll listen to me now because of all that I've been through. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing me. These fellows saw me there. They knew that. They knew I was heading up that stoning procedure there with Stephen. So they're going to understand where I was. They'll relate to that. So he's not going to stop, right? He's going to go on no matter what the Lord says. Now the Lord says again, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. Now, when he mentioned that word, it was like dynamite going off. It was like throwing a match into a gasoline with fumes, and they exploded. And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. They cried out, tore off their clothes, threw dust into the air, and so then we have the commander having to step in and so forth once again. So we know Paul's great love for them. In Romans 9, he's writing through the Spirit, I myself would be accursed if my fellow Israelites would come to the Lord. Very similar to what Moses said when Moses said, blot my name out of the book of life. And of course, we also know that the Lord then said that that doesn't happen. You can't block your name out of the book of life for somebody else's sin. You stand on your own sin. However, we see here, this is Paul's heart for the lost, the Jewish lost. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So what was the downside or the upside or the result of all of this? Well, as the Lord says, the Lord knows who's going to be saved. The Lord knows who's not going to be saved, right? The Lord knows everything. So it's not good to argue with the Lord because you're always going to lose. But he does reward Paul's faithfulness here. He does reward his faithfulness because in verse 11 of chapter 23, now Paul is in prison and he must be just beating himself up. Oh, I should have listened to the Lord. At least I shouldn't have said the word Gentiles. Oh, why did I say that? Maybe he said it. I don't know. But anyway, he must be really, really disappointed. All these years of waiting for this opportunity to witness to the Sanhedrin buddies, and now it just blew up in his face. Of course, as the Lord told him, it would. But verse 11, but the following night the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. So the Lord is merciful, he's faithful, and he rewarded even these attempts to bring others to the Lord, even when he told them they won't listen to him. Now that's perseverance, isn't it? Perseverance in spite of the Lord telling you not to do something that you know is the Lord's will, but it's not the timing or whatever because they're not going to receive it. So a very interesting thing. I thought in my own little brain was the resultant aspect of this trip to Jerusalem really God's original plan? Was Paul to be in prison for 2 full years plus? Was he then to be on a shipwreck journey to Rome? And the various things, all the things that the Lord used Paul even further for, but what a tough life, my lands. Of course, we wouldn't have had the prison epistles if he hadn't been in prison.
That's right.
We certainly need those. And we wouldn't have had the ministry on the island of Malta there, which we read about. So God's ways are right, and continue to listen to him and do what he tells you to do. If he opens the door for you, I think it's far more productive than if you try to do it against his will. So it's good to be doing what he wants you to do, but it's even better if you're doing it with his approval and his leading you, wouldn't you say? Because when you go against the Lord, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Well, Father, we thank you for Paul's heart for the lost, and Lord, we want to pray for the lost this morning. We thank you for some of the exciting things that seem to be happening in this nation right now, Lord. And as many people as can be gathered there that are of like-minded to us, we really like that. But Lord, unless they are led by you continually and continue to go follow you, this will not come to very much. Lord, we do ask for protection. We pray for the inauguration. We thank you how you have been so faithful with the election, with the recount, and with this electoral switching stuff. And you continue to confirm that you're leading. Lord, we thank you for the 9 people so far in the cabinet that say they're Christians. We know some of them have Bible studies, and we really do believe they are born again. Whether they're all born again, only you know. But Lord, what a beautiful thing that is to see quite a number of them as saying, I'm a Christian. And Lord, we pray for Israel and see the present administration's attempt to hurt them as much as they can, even in their 11th hour of their administration. But yet, Lord, you know. And so, Lord, we just pray for your will to be done there as well. So, Lord, here we are to pray. We want to pray as a group, and then later we'll break into little groups. And Lord, we got all of the current cabinet positions to pray for. We got all of the Calvary pastors listed to pray for here at Costa Mesa. We've even got the 10 students now in the School of Pastoral Ministry, or whatever you want to call it, listed there to pray for. And so, Lord, maybe not leave here today until we prayed as much as you want us to pray. In keeping, of course, with each one's schedule, we recognize that. So guide us now by your Spirit, Lord, and may we pray as we are led. In Jesus' name, amen.